We're just going to look at two verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. We do not have a lot of information about Jabez historically. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia perhaps gives us the most information about him. He was the head of the family of Judah, and he was noted for his honorable character. And the popular explanation of his name is that his mother bore him in pain. That's why in the Hebrew it is sorrow. And in Jabez's prayer, we see that God would keep him from pain. That's the significance of his prayer. And that's about all we know. Even Josephus doesn't know a great deal about him. But from a couple of verses of scripture, we'll be able to have a look as you follow down your notes. And what we are going to learn primarily from this man is that he was a man of prayer. And there's no question that he probably prayed for others, but on this occasion he's praying for himself. Now, one of the things I want to endeavor to dispel tonight is the fact that many Christians do not believe that they should pray for themselves. Now, I hope and I trust that you do pray for yourself. I pray for myself. I pray for wisdom, I pray for guidance, I pray constantly that I may know assuredly the will of God for my life. I think one of the tragedies today is that there are not many Christians praying for themselves. And that's why Satan is having a field day playing one against another. I was just talking with a woman in another state of Australia, and she was saying to me that her church is split right down the middle because Satan has divided the people. The people have been playing one against the other, and he'll continue to do it if he's allowed to. The only way you stop Satan from doing that kind of thing is to reverse it upon the people who are doing it, and then let Satan either be used of God to destroy them or to bring them under divine discipline in such a way that they're brought to their knees in deep humility. It's when we pray for ourselves and we pray for others, it is then that we will not either interrogate, nor pull down, nor damage anyone else's character. And so I want you to look at this man tonight as he prays for true prosperity. He's not praying for material gain here. He's praying for true prosperity, which is spiritual prosperity, and if material gain comes along as the result of it, then he is in the right place with God to handle it. There are many Christians who have a lot of perhaps desire or perhaps egotistical attitudes that they'd like to be prosperous. But you see, God will never allow them to be prosperous because they are not spiritually mature enough to handle prosperity. The first thing we notice, he prays intelligently. We are told in the scriptures that he called on the God of Israel. He calls on the covenant God, the true and the living God. And this is praying intelligently. Very much prayer, sad to say, is unintelligent and therefore unprofitable. There are many illustrations, of course, in the Bible. Think of the Pharisee and the beggar who went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee didn't pray intelligently, but the publican did. Now, one of the basic fundamentals regarding prayer, or regarding the condition of prayer, is that you must know God. Now, Jabez, praying intelligently, knew God. He knew the covenant God. He knew the God of Israel. And therefore, he was able to address God in the way that he did. A lot of people have said over the years that they cannot get through to God. Well, when you cannot get through to God, you want to analyze your prayer life. You want to analyze your Christian life. There's nothing wrong with God. He's still there. And when you do analyze why you're not getting through, maybe there's sin in your life. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God will not hear us. So he not only prays intelligently, but he prays earnestly. There's intensity in his prayer, and he cries out to the Lord. He does not just simply say, "Lord, bless me." The Hebraic scholars tell us that the phrase, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed," is an urgent cry, an urgent cry. If you look carefully, even at your English translation, you will detect that there's the intensity, there's the passion, there's the desire to cry to God. Surely this must challenge us, all of us, because we often pray half-hearted prayers. We pray the prayers, "If it be thy will." "If it be thy will" is heresy. You never pray, "If it be thy will." You pray, "According to thy will, O God, grant it." So is it any wonder that a lot of prayers do not really reach the throne of grace? Then we see that he prays definitely. When Jabez prayed, he knew what he wanted, and he asked for what he wanted. He wasn't praying haphazardly. Perhaps before he began to pray, he may have meditated carefully and thought about what he was going to pray. There was clarity. There was definition. And I think it's very, very important to define what we are asking for when we pray. Here again, remember what we have been taught in the New Testament. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. But that anything must be defined. It's not a haphazard collection of do's and don'ts or ifs and buts or wants. It has to be defined. We have to pray definitely and intelligently. The other thing we notice is that he prays effectually, and we see that the scripture says that God granted him that which he requested. Let us remember that the God of Jabez is also our God. Now, why does he pray effectually? He prays effectually because he's in a right relationship with God. Are we in a right relationship with God when we pray? I don't know whether any of you have ever read the book, "Lord, Change Me." Maybe we need to get that book and circulate it through the church. "Lord, Change Me." I remember that book doing something for me when my son was 14 years old. And my son was going through that awkward age, I call it the age of stupidity, that teenage span of life that we all go through, and we've all gone through it. There's not one of us here tonight can ever say that we haven't been through the age of stupidity. We have. And we've probably done some very stupid things, all of us. We mightn't think so, but others have thought so. And I remember once in prayer, crying to the Lord over my son, and suddenly the Lord reminded me that he was also his son. And somebody loaned me the book, "Lord, Change Me." And when I read that book, I had a different attitude completely towards my son, who had long hair down to his waist, brand new jeans that had the knees ripped out of them, pimply faces, sandals, all that youngsters go through. You see, it's so very easy to try and put other people into a mold when you pray. And you and I don't have that right, do we? We don't have that right. I think what we should begin to pray for in this church is for grace. Grace, the doctrine of God. This man prayed, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Now, what did he mean by this request? We know from Ephesians 1:3 that every believer is wonderfully blessed. That is, if you know your position in Christ. Well, I think that Jabez here was praying for the divine enabling without which he could never be the man God wanted him to be. We ought to pray daily, individually and collectively as a church, that we need the divine enabling to be the people of God that we should be. Because unless we pray like that, we'll be the people of Satan. Now, if we would want God to bless us, and we want what God wants us to be, it can only be by the grace of God. So we ought to pray for grace. There's plenty of grace available, you know, plenty of it. Now, this man needed special grace. His name was sorrowful or painful. Whatever it was he needed grace for, he prayed. And of course he received the grace that he needed. Then another thing we should pray for is growth. Sadly but true, many Christians, professing Christians in churches today all over the world, never ever grow up into maturity. There are some people who can be in the church for 30 years and still be in spiritual napkins. What is this man saying? Listen to what he's saying. He says, Lord, oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. He's not saying, Jabez, enlarge my coast, is he? He's saying, oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast. Whilst Christians are content to remain in a state of spiritual babyhood, they will never enlarge their coasts. We need to pray, Lord, enlarge our coast, increase our capacity, deepen our faith, and inflame our love, and give us more opportunities, and make us more usable than we are. Now, God will answer that kind of praying. It's a very costly thing, by the way, to ask the Lord to enlarge your coasts, because it becomes a testing time regarding your growth spiritually. Now, let me say that without testings, Christians will remain spiritual babies. They'll always be flabby and ineffective in their spirituality. Now, this man also prayed for guidance. He prayed that thine hand might be with me. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, the hand of God is a very vivid expression, and what it denotes in the Old Testament is the power of the living God in action. But we know from New Testament teaching that Christ came to show us the way. He came to be the guide and is the guide through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit today. The hand of God, the living God, is still guiding us today. But how often in our praying do we see the hand of the living God? Do you really know what the hand of the living God is in your prayer life? For that matter, do you know the voice of the living God when you pray? You only have to look around you to answer that question. Why is Satan using you? Why is your attitude toward one another like it is? Well, you're going to be the loser finally. Because somewhere down the track, God is going to catch up with you, and he's going to place you under divine discipline, and you are going to really be brought to your knees. One of the things I want to encourage you to remember is that be patient. God is not finished with you. And just as God will discipline you if you step out of line, he will also discipline me. It's a wonderful thing to know the hand of God in guidance. A lot of Christians don't. This is true. It's been proven quite beyond any stretch of the imagination. I mean, as soon as I hear a Christian pray, if it be thy will, Lord, I know they haven't got a clue where they're going. And that's not a judgmental attitude toward them. That's just a spiritual fact. We want to pray more for godliness and holiness. This man prayed that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, that's a powerful prayer, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The evil wasn't going to grieve the Lord. It was going to grieve Jabez. Put in simple language, he says that thou wouldest keep me from evil so that it will not spoil my life. What's the Lord's prayer say? Deliver us from evil. How often do we pray to be kept from evil? Because evil does spoil our Christian life. It not only spoils our Christian life, it destroys it. The great apostle Paul knew this truth. He knew that the Lord was able to deliver him and us from evil and enable us to live a life that is glorifying to Christ, a life that is pure and holy and Christ-like. Now the Bible says in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 4 that this man was described as God's honorable man. What was the secret of this man becoming honorable? It was prayer. It was prayer. Prayer is certainly not telling God what to do, is it? Prayer, as Paul says, is making your requests known to God, but being in the will of God in order that God hears and answers your prayer. And I want to say to you, as you think about these studies for these nights and as you discuss the questions in a moment or two as we split up into groups, one of the things that you need to ask yourself time and time again, why is it that God is not enlarging the coasts? your coasts individually and the coasts of the local church here in this place? Well, we need to do some soul searching. We need to say, well, are we people like Jabez? Are we praying earnestly and passionately for the lost? Are we coming to the place before Almighty God where we allow Him, first of all, to turn His searchlight on us and look deep within our inner being? I mean, we can all stand up and be pious on Sunday. I've seen this for 32 years now in the ministry. I've seen some people stand up and be very pious and all the rest of it, but completely out of fellowship with God and out of fellowship with the brethren. And when I've done a little bit of homework, I've discovered that they're sowers of discord amongst the brethren. They're not in a right relationship with the Lord, and there's no grace in their life. And you see, you must remember that when God calls a man to be a pastor and a servant, He calls him to be a fruit inspector as well. And if there's no fruit in the individual's life, then some questions have to be asked. So if there's no passion, if there's no earnest desire to seek after the holiness of God and the godliness which God requires, then we have to do some homework. We have to begin to ask some questions. Why are we failing God? We're not failing anyone else, only God. And we need to come back to where Jabez was when he prayed in order to become honorable in the sight of God. And I want to tell you this, that the richest person in town is the person who is honorable in the sight of God. As my father would say of some people, he would say, that man's a white man. And that's what he meant. That man is honorable. You can trust him. God could trust Jabez. Can God trust us? Well, I only have to answer for myself. I don't have to answer for you. And you don't have to answer for me, because I have to stand before the Bema seat one day to give an account of everything that I say as a pastor, as a preacher. And you have to stand before the Bema seat one day to give an account of everything. And as you do, what are you going to say? Because even this very night, even this very Bible study and prayer meeting is being recorded in heaven. Did you know that? You won't be able to say, well, the pastor didn't tell us. May I suggest that you have a look at the words? What does the word particular mean? What does the word intelligently mean? Guidance and entrusted and estimate and accomplished and all of those words, what do they mean? What does it mean for us to wrestle with God? Could it be that we miss out on true prosperity because we fail to wrestle in prayer? The second thought, if we pray for grace, we must consider the bounty of grace, the purpose of grace, and the provision of grace. You need to discuss that. Thirdly, we need to pray that the Lord will enlarge our coasts, increase our capacity, deepen our faith, inflame our love, give us more opportunities, make us more usable, and conform us to the image of His Son. It's a very costly thing to ask the Lord to enlarge our coasts, isn't it? It's very costly. Are you prepared to pay the cost? If we're not, we'll have to admit that we're going to remain in spiritual infancy forever. But didn't Christ count the cost before He left heaven's glory to come down to earth for us?